As a pastor, one of the hardest things to do is sometimes gauge the pulse of the congregation. And we see churches all over the place that are growing and building new buildings, and as we look back over the past almost 2 years now, you just tend to wonder. Not that you should, but you tend to wonder what's going on. So, with that being said, I'd like to know from the congregation, I'd like to maybe even know from people who are listening over the internet, if there's something that we as leadership in the church are doing to impede growth. And this goes well with today's sermon. Because our passage of Scripture today, it's going to be familiar because Bob West spoke on it about 6 or 8 months ago. And as we talk about storms of life, and this is one of the storms that I go through. And you may look up and say, well, you shouldn't be going through that storm. And maybe I shouldn't be. But I do. So what I've done is in the pew pockets in front of you, there are couple blank index cards. So if you would, if you feel there's something that I can do, there's something that we as a church can do differently to help meet your needs, just jot it down. And the thinking I'm going about is, if we are a healthy church, then we should be like a healthy couple. And we should, in some way, have reproduction. Not that I'm looking for the walls to be bustling through. And yes, we do grow from time to time. But just to see if there's something that we can do to meet your needs. If you have a spiritual question, something that's been on your mind that you need answered, you know, maybe something that we as a church do not do, and why not? That would be something that's appropriate also. Unfortunately, for the most part, unless I kind of want this all to be anonymous, so, you know, no names, they're not going to be answered, but probably more than likely in Sunday school, unless it's something that really stands out. If you would like a personal answer to it, just put your name on it, and I can do that. Those of you listening who may be somewhere other than in this building, email address, you can just send it to danbranch1400@gmail.com. I believe the church's email address is on our sermon audio page. You can do that and it comes straight to me. Also, you can mail us at 310 Main Street, Dover, Ohio, 44622. With that being said, we find Jesus and his disciples today. They're going to be traveling across the Sea of Galilee. As we mentioned before, the Sea of Galilee is about 11 miles long, about 7.5 miles wide. It's by no means a little lake, but it's not what we would call like an ocean either. And the way that it is shaped with the mountains and hillsides along the sides of it, it kind of lays in a basin somewhere below the sea level of the Mediterranean Sea. And it was known for its sporadic high winds and large, lofty waves. And that's where we'll kind of begin with that picture this morning as we look at Mark chapter 4. We're going to read verses 35 to the end of the chapter. And on that day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. And Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. Father, Lord, we ask your guidance this morning. We ask for your Spirit today to interpret this passage, Lord, how it was originally meant, and how we today can apply it. Lord, I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the men that you have given over the years who have interpreted and put your word into a proper context. Lord, and for your Spirit who always teaches through it. Father, I ask that you would take the lead today to teach us just how you would have us to see it, that your Spirit may lead and guide, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, we've been introduced to this boat earlier. Jesus has been in this boat teaching the crowds, trying to get himself kind of away from the crowds. He would go a few feet offshore so people weren't all right up upon him, and then he could teach to the multitudes. We've also seen Jesus already before leaving certain places after he has taught, almost in a sense just to get away, to get to a new place. And that's kind of what's happening here. Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, "Let's go over to the other side." Now, the interesting thing about this is a lot of the men that Jesus have called as his disciples, they are fishermen. They are perfectly aware of the sea and the things that go along with being out in the middle, especially the Sea of Galilee, where most of them worked. More than likely, this boat is a fishing boat. So I don't necessarily see it as a canoe, but it's not an ocean liner either. There's enough room for at least a few men, and then Scripture's clear that there's a few other boats that are following also. So they leave, and they go over to the other side. Verse 36 says, leaving the crowd, they took him along with him in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. So, they're not taking, it's kind of a come-as-you-are type of a trip. We don't see, preparation for a long stay, just enough to get away. As we see this passage, we can notice a few things. Notice in verse 37, there arose a fierce gale of wind. The waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. This is a pretty bad storm. Probably not your run-of-the-mill storm. We can imagine the waves coming over the sides. The bottom of the boat beginning to fill up with water. The boat lowering itself within the water. And Jesus, verse 38 says, was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. We see here a picture of the humanity of Jesus. We see here a man just like us. A man who gets hungry and has to eat. A man who gets tired and has to sleep. So tired, in fact, that he's able to sleep through this storm. I imagine Jesus being a man that worked until the work was done. Over the course of the last 2 years, I understand more than ever how precious sleep is. I now have the opportunity, thanks to you guys, to take 3 of my work days and actually be able to sleep coming home, because Beth sleeps on the way down to Columbus, and then she drives and I sleep on the way back. I could never do that before. I don't know if it's because I always got enough sleep, so I didn't need it. But the aspect of sleeping in a car just did nothing for me. But Beth can attest now that I can close my eyes in Columbus and I can sleep all the way till we hit Portage Avenue in Canton. Jesus was a man who knows our struggles. He knows what we go through. Jesus was a man who needed sleep and was able to sleep in the stern of the boat. I believe that's the back. In the stern of the boat, through the waves, through the rain, through the splashing, soundly. Notice the fact that he even wanted a cushion. He wanted a pillow. How else would he have been able to sleep? The pillow to soften his head on the hard wood of the ship. Jesus knows what we go through. So he's in the stern. He's asleep. And it says the disciples woke him. Now, again, a good portion of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. They were used to these storms. So this must have been something that was extraordinary, to where they were afraid or felt it necessary to wake Jesus. I can kind of imagine the huddling of these disciples as they come around each other and they say, you know, some of it's probably a picture kind of the church here. Some of us would be, oh, it's just a storm, it'll pass. Others of us would be cowering in the corner, maybe crying because we're so scared. And then everybody in the middle, from the one extreme to the other. Probably the bravest of these passengers said, okay, I'll go get them. I'll wake them up. The question comes, why wake them? It's a storm. They're going from one shore to another. What would Jesus be able to do anyways, is the question. But we have one disciple who goes over to Jesus and probably just kind of gradually wakes him up. That's pure speculation, but I kind of imagine it might have been Peter. And I can kind of imagine the conversation going something like this. Jesus, I'm sorry to bother you. Need to wake you up. The other disciples are scared. I'm not. But being who I am, I'm waking you up. Can you help to do something? Notice the question. They woke him and they said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care that we are perishing? This is a question that each and every one of us ask. And I dare say each and every one of us may ask it daily because of something in our life. Some of us wait and we ask when the storm gets huge and we feel like we're ready to sink. Others of us will ask when the storm just starts and we feel the first petals of rain. But we all have storms in our lives. And you know, we all need storms in our lives. And I had Tyler read this morning from Philippians, where Paul tells us that our God shall supply all our needs according to His riches in glory. Most of the time when we get in these storms in our life, the first question we ask ourselves, or the first question somebody asks us, is what have we done? Where is your sin in your life? Where is my sin in my life that causes this storm to happen? Notice, in this trip across the lake, the disciples did not do anything wrong. As a matter of fact, all they were doing was obeying Jesus. Jesus said, let's get in the boat and let's go across to the other side. And they were obedient to Him in that. Now, I don't think that at this time they were necessarily responding the way that James tells us to respond to our trials in James chapter 1, where he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Jesus could have awoken. He could have looked at His disciples, and He could have said, why are you not counting this all joy? I'm perfecting you. He did not do that. Notice what He did do. Verse 39, He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. Jesus did not get up and rebuke His disciples for awakening Him. He did not rebuke them for not having any faith. He rebuked the storm that was in their life. Again, Jesus knows our struggles. He knows what we go through. He said, hush. And the wind died down. Then he asked them a question. He said, "Why are you afraid? Do you have no faith?" Now remember what this passage is coming after. What have we just spent the last few weeks talking about? We've been talking about basically our salvation, our deathness in Christ. The good soil. The seed that grows, that is nurtured. The kingdom of God. And the first sign of trouble, the disciples forget Jesus. "Do you not care that we are perishing?" In their eyes, they saw death as imminent. They saw one more wave coming over and the boat goes to the bottom of the sea. "Do you not care?" Jesus, do you not care, disciples? Do you still have no faith? I wish I understood the mind of God. I wish I understood why we go through things that we do. There's many people, just even in this room today, who are going through a storm in their life. To them, it's a hurricane. Category 5. That's crashing on the shores of their life. And we forget everything that God has done for us in the past. And Jesus is looking at us saying, "Do you have no faith?" We tend to run from God at these times. We tend to say, "God, why?" And we look for our own solutions. And again, I don't have all the answers. But the one answer I do have is we need to cling to God more than ever. I brought up at the beginning this morning one of the storms of my life. As I try to care for this congregation. When people come up and ask me, "Well, why aren't we growing?" I don't know. Is it me? Is it something I'm doing? Is it you? Something that you're doing? I almost see it as, you know, are we participating in a spiritual birth control method that's impeding us? But I do know one thing. The truth that we learned last week is as we plant, as we sow the seed, as we or others water, we have no control over the growth of that seed. And sometimes some of the hardest thing to do is wait on God. Those of you today who may be in that type of a storm, where the waves are crashing over, maybe you even see the boat as being gone and you're clinging to, you know, your head is just above water, clinging to a life ring. Think back in the past. Has God brought you through things earlier? So why would He not bring you through anything now? Why would He let you suffer if there was not a purpose through it? What was the purpose for the disciples that day? Verse 41. They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" They should have known who Jesus was. They've seen Him heal people. They've seen Him denounce demons out of people. But they get into a storm. And everything that Jesus has done to them or for them in the past just is wiped away. And Jesus, do You wish us to perish? Jesus does not wish them to perish. He does not wish us to perish. But He will bring us through the other side. Now on that day, I don't know if they necessarily got to the point across the Sea of Galilee that they were wanting to go to. If they wanted to go to such and such a city, because of the storm, they may have ended up in another city. We may not always end up where we want to end up. But Jesus told us He will never leave us nor forsake us. So if we're going through a storm in our life today, if we don't understand, don't run away from the only one that can help you. We should be running towards Him. You say, how? How can I run towards Him? First and foremost is this book. Are we spending time consistently within God's Word? I'm going to tell you right now, there's not one of us in this room, not you, not me, to where 1 hour on a Sunday morning is enough for your relationship with God. We try to open up other opportunities. Take advantage of those. Take advantage of those to let God help you to be part of His family. God has placed people in this room who've been through things that you have been through and can help. If nothing more, all He has to do is give you somebody most of the time with a listening ear. Guys, there's nothing I can say, there's nothing I can do to make your relationship with God any better. I can feed you. I can teach you to feed yourselves. But we need one another.
Amen.
Cling to Him. Cling to us. Cling to one another to get through this. I mean, problem is, I don't know about you, I've had storms in my life. I've had doozies. I may not have had doozies like some of, you know, my storms may not compare, they may far exceed, I don't know. But the one thing I know is when that storm was calmed on that lake that day, there was another one that followed. How do we get through the storms of life? It's only in our love, in our relationship with Christ and one another. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word today. And Father, it's hard to understand but why we go through the storms we do. Father, when the disciples, who at least four of them were experienced and professional fishermen, got to a place that they were so afraid that they saw death on its door. Father, may we trust in you. May we rely on you. And know that you are going to get us through on the other side, one way or the other. Because you love us. If we are your children, then Lord, you will see us through. And Father, even in these storms, I gotta admit, there's many storms that I go through that are my fault. I look at the weather radar. I see the storm on the lake, and yet I put myself in the middle of it. But Lord, so many times we find ourselves in these storms because of our obedience to you. Father, help us both ways to rely on you. Lord, as you teach us through these storms, may we see you as the God that you are. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.